Know your reformers. Jan Hus, a Czech priest, was inspired by the writings of John Wycliffe to preach against papal excess and false doctrines such as transubstantiation. Even as he was burned at the stake by the Catholic Church, he continued to preach the gospel and sing the Psalms. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And we are back. It's a Witness Wednesday here on Wretched Radio. And of course, Todd is still out on the campus of Georgia Tech. And we're going to get back out there now and see if he's found someone else to talk with. Hopefully, he gets this person's name.
Hey, young man. What are you doing sitting here? Are you waiting for somebody?
No.
Killing time.
Yeah.
Can I kill time with you for a moment?
Sure.
Can I ask you some questions on the radio while you're sitting here?
Sure.
Dude.
What's your name?
My name's... Oh, nice to meet you.
Mike.
Mike. Well, I'll take off my glasses. You shook my hand. Thanks for that, dude.
No problem.
Okay, here's... I've got a... If you will, a philosophical, maybe a religious question for you. Would you consider yourself to be a good person?
Sure.
All right, I'm going to probe into that, okay? I'm going to get into your conscience right now.
Can I just seem like not a yes or no answer?
Sure.
Because, I mean, everyone makes mistakes.
I agree with you. Have you ever told lies in your life?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Of course.
Yeah. Like everybody else, I agree. Okay, so if you tell lies, or if I told lies, what would you call me? What type of a person would I be?
If you were... person who lies, I would call you a liar. At the same time, if you had to say something to me that wasn't completely true and I know you're a nice guy or whatever, then I wouldn't call you a liar.
Yeah, but chances are pretty good you, like the rest of us, have done something to protect yourself or to get out of trouble.
Yeah.
That'd be flat out lying.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd be liars for lying. Okay. Have you ever stolen anything in your life? Now, it doesn't mean robbing a bank.
Yeah, but sure. I've taken some things
stuff.
Before. Yeah,
okay.
A little stuff.
All right.
Yes.
Going to dig in a little deeper.
Okay.
All right. On the campus, looking around, if you've ever seen a woman and you've had X-rated thoughts about her or thoughts that, yikes, if mom and dad knew about these, it would be kind of embarrassing. Has that ever happened to you?
I wouldn't say exactly the way you described it, but I mean, I do see cute girls, but honestly, I really don't... I don't really get those kinds of thoughts too often.
Never lust?
Not in the way, not like X-rated lust, but more so rather just kind of trying to figure out who that person would be.
Mm-hmm.
But I would have to see that person and know them a lot longer before those thoughts usually get to me.
Well, I want to ask you to answer this because this is private, but if you've ever looked at pornographic images or pornography or viewed things that you shouldn't and dwelt on them, that would be crossing that line into a sexual type of sin.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're like, well, pretty much every other guy who's on the planet, you've done that along your life sometime.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, last question. This is a good person test to see if you're a good person.
Okay.
Have you ever taken God's name in vain, used it in a bad way, kind of tossed it out there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The most typical ways you always hear people say,
Yeah.
I've said that.
Okay.
So absolutely.
Okay, so there's four questions to see if you're a good person.
Mm-hmm.
And you admitted you're a liar. You've stolen things.
Mm-hmm.
You've committed adultery in your heart because you don't need to commit the act in the eyes of God.
Okay.
You just need to think about it because he knows what's going on inside of your brain.
Mm-hmm.
It's as if I could put a computer chip behind your ear and record every thought that went through your brain.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the same type of recording device. Knows everything.
Mm-hmm.
When you were a child, if you were ever naughty or lippy or sassy with your mom and dad, you were breaking another commandment. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You're a young man, but if you died right now, God just stops your heart from beating right now, and he opened up the books on your life. He took that computer chip and took a look at it. Would he find you innocent or guilty?
So are you saying that any bad thing I've done is, it's as soon as you've done something bad, it's bad? It doesn't matter how bad it was. There's no sort of relative?
Well, there can be relative.
Because the first time you asked me if I thought I was a good person, I would say yes, even though I have all these relatively tiny bad things going on in my life.
Okay, you're a smart guy, so I'm going to give you a scenario. You got to think this one through, though.
Okay.
Okay? Let's say, I can't see one right now, but let's say a bug crawled across here, and I stomped on it and just killed it.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen to me? Do you think the police are going to come arrest me and throw me in jail?
Nothing would happen.
Nothing.
Other than you ended the bug's life.
Right, okay. So now let's say that I go into downtown Atlanta and I find a homeless person, somebody that society esteems as low value, and I killed that person. Do you think the police are going to arrest me?
Still probably not, and still the only thing you've probably done is taken a life of someone, but...
But chances are, if the justice system is decent, I'd probably go spend some time in prison.
Yeah,
not for a ton of time, but probably for some time. Now, let's say I flew to Washington and assassinated a high-level official or the president of the United States. It's pretty certain I'm going to jail, probably for the rest of my days. All right, here's what we got. Murder of a bug, murder of a murder of a president. Same crime, different punishment. What changed in the scenario to make my punishment worse?
The perceived importance that other people put
on
those.
Bingo. Exactly. Now imagine this. Let's say God is the king of the universe and he made everything and he holds it all together by the power of his word. He holds you together. All of life functions because of him.
Okay.
He's the one who orchestrates governments and nations, everything. So when you break a law, you might perceive it as being very small. But because it's committed against the king of the universe, it's huge to him because he's infinitely high and holy. So you might think that lying is kind of not a big deal or lusting in your heart. It doesn't hurt anybody.
I never said it wasn't a big deal.
But imagine how big it is to God.
Okay.
Right? So he judges, knows that you've broken those laws. He's perfectly holy and righteous. Those are huge offenses. I mean, for instance.
Are you sure, though?
Well, because of his character and nature. And here's what the Bible says. The Bible says in the commandment to not take his name in vain, because I will not hold him blameless who takes his name in vain. And the Bible also says all liars will have their part in a lake of fire. Again, not a big deal to us. You know, boys will be boys. We look, we lust. But God doesn't see it that way. He's a strict judge, and he's a holy judge. So if God is that nature and character, what should he do with you? Should he take you to heaven, or should he send you to hell?
I guess he would send me to hell if that is. Are you getting with that kind of?
Yeah, I'm trying to reason with you a little bit. I'm trying to actually get into your. You're a smart guy, but I'm trying to get to your conscience right now.
Okay.
This was kind of the missing information for me.
Okay.
I always kind of liked the idea of believing in God because I had kind of a funny feeling I was going to a bad place. But I had wrong motives. I didn't get the whole picture. But it was when I understood that God is perfect and righteous and holy and just, and that I've been living like a real. Like a bad guy, like a wretched man. And then when I realized something else, it just crushed me. That even though that I'd done all these things that are wrong and offensive to God, never thanked him for the food that I was eating or the air that I was breathing. And more than that, when I remembered that Jesus Christ, his son, died to forgive me, and I'd been living like a rebel, that's when the whole thing kind of got really clear to me. And that I felt terrible, not because I was afraid of hell, but because I had been... saved, I'd been purchased and bought by a God who died to save me from hell. It was his goodness that I suddenly realized, wow, I've been living like a really bad man. And that's what I'm trying to maybe steer you toward a little bit. Realizing that you've been a bad man, but there's a good God who died to save you. Because God's got to punish lawbreakers. He's got to do it. That's what love does. Punish. You know, whenever you see a criminal get off from a crime, it's like, oh, I hate that. God's not letting anybody go. He's going to punish all lawbreakers. But he's rich in mercy, and he wants to save sinners to demonstrate his kindness. So he sent his son, you've heard this story, born of a virgin, to live under the law, to keep all the laws that you and I broke, live perfectly, to be punished and beaten and hung on a cross on our behalf. God's wrath poured out on him for our sakes so that a great exchange could happen. You could be forgiven, his righteousness credited to your account, your badness put on him, so that you could be seen and be made the righteousness of God. That's the good news of the gospel in a nutshell.
Right.
And God then commands us to repent, to say, I'm sorry, I have been living all for myself, all wrong. You turn from your sins. It's not that you suddenly become perfect,
right,
but you have a new attitude about him, and you put your trust in Jesus, the God who died to save you, and he promises if you'll do that, I will make you alive in me. I will adopt you as my child, and I will forgive all of your sins and grant you everlasting life because of what Jesus did. That's the good news of the gospel. So earlier, friend, you said, well, I'm not sure what to call it. The Bible says that God's the only true and living God. Okay. And you've got a court date with him. Mm-hmm. And if you're not in him, you're his enemy. And he's going to pour out his wrath on you. But this day he offers you mercy. Mm-hmm. So you need to figure out if what I'm saying is true or not. Because if it's true, right now you're in hot water. But mercy is available if you'll repent and trust him. So you need to figure out if what I'm saying is right.
Okay.
That's what I'd like to challenge you with today.
And that's another chat in the books on a Witness Wednesday. Wow. Be praying for Mike. Honestly, be praying for that young man. I'm not really sure how he responded to all of it. I really don't. I mean, he seemed to be tracking with Todd intellectually, but that doesn't necessarily mean his heart was in the right place or his heart was ready to embrace the truth that he was hearing. As most of you know, it's one thing to acknowledge guilt, but it's quite another thing to throw yourself on the mercy of Christ. So let's be praying for that young man. Ask God to continue pursuing him. Ask God to continue to open his eyes to the reality of his sin and the beauty of his son. And remember to do that for yourself as well. Let's not forget to thank God for his grace in our own lives. And let's continue remembering that we ourselves were once in Mike's shoes, dead in our trespasses and sins. But through his grace, we've been made alive together with Christ. Hang tight, folks. We're not quite finished yet. More Witness Wednesday is coming up in 3 minutes. It's a Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio.
I'm so excited about this.
That's right. I'm actually giddy about Bibles. We are going to be doing another campaign with our good friends at the Masters Academy International. We're going to be sending MacArthur Study Bibles to places that, for various reasons, our brothers and sisters don't have study Bibles. And we did a campaign to the Philippines. 10,000 Bibles were sent to our brothers and sisters in the Philippines. I think we're either going to do another 10 or 15,000 to countries whose names we better not speak. So be on the lookout for it. And if you'd like to start even supporting that now, that would rock. You can learn more about the amazing Masters Academy International. Don't forget, they've got the mini seminaries around the globe training indigenous pastors to rightly divide the word of truth. Telling you, first-class ministry with generational impact. You can learn more at wretched.org/Bible.
Thank you so much for listening to Wretched Radio today, and I have got some exciting news to share with you. Gospel Partners Media soon will look a bit different. Imagine this, a Christian version of the Daily Wire. 8 powerful voices are joining our ministry, and they will be creating compelling content that's going to speak truth into this darkened culture. I'm talking about certified biblical counselors like Pastor Brad Bigney. He'll be hosting a podcast on marriage and family. But that's not all. We also have incredible thinkers like Pastor Tim Challey, Dr. Adam Tyson, and you've already been listening to Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford. This is where you come in, because we're right now currently in the middle of a $250,000 match campaign, which means every dollar you are able to give will be double. But look, this isn't just about money. It's about partnership. So will you join us in this new chapter? Just visit wretched.org/donate right now to get all of the details. That's wretched.org/donate. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in it. It's a little complex out there with the internet and ordering pills. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. They provide free ultrasounds despite the accusations of all pro-life clinics. They are holistic. They do care about the mommy too. And they care for the family, and they provide training. And it is literally a way that if you have the means, you can be saving a life. Amazing ministry. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Books of the Bible. The book of Ecclesiastes is a philosophical and poetic reflection on life. The author teaches that no matter what, all men die and face God's judgment. Life, then, is full of vanity and despair. Anything that is pursued for its own sake is meaningless. But if we pursue God above all else, we can enjoy even mundane things as gifts from God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And we're back. It's a Witness Wednesday here on Wretched Radio. If you thought Todd was done sharing the gospel with college students, well, think again. He's still out there on the prowl. So let's get back out to the campus and continue listening.
We're asking people about the holiday that's coming up in just a couple of days. Do you know what it is?
Easter.
What is it?
Easter was basically, you know, the birth of Christ. After he died, when he came back to life, I guess that's what Easter is. I haven't been to church in a while, so it's kind of like a wild guess.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you believe that story?
Yeah. Yeah.
How come?
Basically, because, you know, I was raised off of, you know, my family is Baptist, so anything like church related, you know, it's kind of like that's what I grew up on. So it's like I don't really have a choice to believe it, kind of.
You do too.
I mean, I do, but I mean, I kind of feel like it's with like faith and stuff. It depends on more of your family, and then as you grow up, you kind of choose your like path, you know? Yeah.
Have you chosen your path?
Right now, I guess I'm still Christian, but I don't believe with everything that other Christians believe at the same time. So it's like, I guess I could put myself in the Christian category, but you know, I do believe it's like a higher power, but I just don't believe every single thing that's like in the Bible.
Why?
Because some of it is like unrealistic.
Like what?
Just like some of the stuff they ask you to do. Like for instance, we even talked about in our class, like the commandments. So one of the commandments is, you know, basically, you know, you shouldn't like steal from people and like you shouldn't kill people and certain stuff like that. And it's like, if you do those things, it's like looked down upon. But it's like in certain situations, you might have to do that to like defend yourself or your family. And like other people do that all the time in like war and stuff like that. That and then, like I said before, like stuff in the Bible that's like kind of doesn't really make sense back and forth. Like, it's not really backed up, you know?
What do you mean?
I feel like there's a lot of stories in the Bible, and those stories are used to, like, you know, teach you right from wrong and basically just to give you a good principle to go off of to live your life. But some people take it too in-depth, and they end up doing stuff that they're not supposed to be doing, if that makes sense.
Okay, let me just try to respond to your first issue, which was the issue that the Bible says you shouldn't murder, but what about a soldier? And we see soldiers in the Bible killing people. There's a difference between the word murder and killing. Murder is when I take your life, and it is not just. You come at me with a butcher knife, and I have to kill you to defend myself. It's called self-defense. It's not murder. All right, you'd be trying to murder me, but I'm just going to kill you to stop you from murdering me.
Yeah, I got you, but you're still killing somebody at the end of the day.
That's true, but there is a difference between an act of guilt and an act of self-defense.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
All right, so that seems to be an accusation I just kind of moved aside. Might I suggest to you, Anthony, that the resurrection, which is what Easter is about, that's kind of the linchpin of the whole Bible? Because if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, the whole thing is a joke, because that's what the whole thing is built on. But if Jesus did rise from the dead, all of those other miracles, anything else that you think is wacky, that seems sort of fantastic, it's like, well, if God can create a universe, and if he can raise himself from the dead, any other miracle just isn't that big of a deal. Yeah. Easter's kind of the biggie. Good Friday. Do you know what that religious term is?
I've heard of Good Friday, but I don't remember what it like.
That's the day he died.
Okay.
So 3 days before Easter. Growing up in a Baptist church, Anthony, what was the reason Jesus died?
Die for our sins.
Why did he have to do that?
That's a good question.
Let me go back to those commandments, and it'll make perfect sense to you. All right, murdering. Have you ever murdered anybody?
No.
Jesus said that if you've ever been angry at somebody unjustly, you know, a driver, somebody who cut you off, whatever, just you jerk your little brother, whatever, and you've got that attitude, it's like murdering in your heart. Have you ever been angry at somebody?
Yeah.
So you're a murderer at heart, like I am. Have you ever stolen anything?
Yeah.
But it only takes one thing.
Yeah, that's true. All right.
Have you ever told a lie?
Yeah, everybody lies.
Have you ever taken God's name in vain?
I have, but I think that was an accident. But Now, as of now, no, I don't do that.
Yeah. God is the just judge of the universe. He's determined a day that you and I are going to die. He's picked it. Doesn't escape his view. He's determined your birth date, your death date, and he's written the dash of everything in between. He calls your number. You stand before him to be judged for eternity. The books are opened on Anthony. Not only does he see what you've done in the dark, brought into the light, thought, word, deed, everything. He knows because he was an eyewitness to all of it. Would you be innocent or guilty?
Would I be innocent or guilty? Well, if you believe in God, if I repent for my sins before that date, that like exact date, then no, I wouldn't be guilty. But if I didn't, then yeah.
That's pretty warm. It's not cold, but it's not hot yet. Yeah. If a criminal just said, Judge, I repent. I'm not going to do it anymore. He'd go, well, good. You shouldn't do it anymore, but you're still guilty. Mm-hmm. How can God let a criminal like you go?
I don't think it's about letting you go. I think it's like, it's almost like forgiveness almost. You know what I'm saying?
I agree with that. Yeah. But how can God forgive you? See, if a judge just goes, you know what, Anthony, he's a nice young man. I'm going to let him go. You'd go, you're a corrupt judge. Yeah. How can God let you go?
Well, it's basically, it's supposed to be like God is supposed to forgive you because when you repent for your sins, you're actually like, you know, you're doing it willingly, like yourself. So that means you 100% believe in, you're not going to do whatever you did. So like, let's say I go steal something and then I repent for my sins that I stole something. That means I'm basically never going to steal again. And it's supposed to be a genuine commitment. So that's why he can forgive you, because you're saying you're never going to do it again and you're acknowledging that you did wrong.
Just let's go back into the earthly courtroom for a minute. You're guilty. We're standing before the judge. Judge, I'm not going to do it again, and I really, really mean it. The judge is going to say, Anthony, you shouldn't do those things ever again, but you've got a fine to pay. You've got to pay your debt. Let's go to God's courtroom in the sky, if you will. You've got a debt. You've got to make a payment for your crimes. How can God forgive you and let you go and be released from his courtroom of justice? Who paid your fine, Anthony?
Nobody. Nobody paid your fine.
What is Good Friday?
You said Good Friday was the day that Jesus came back.
No, it's the day that he died, and you even said it. Why did Jesus die?
He died for our sins.
That's who paid your fine. Jesus died so you could be forgiven. God is good, and he's rich in mercy, but he's just, and he can't just let people go. Because that's what a corrupt judge does, and God isn't corrupt. So God, in order to be just and the justifier of those who will believe in him, sent his son to take your punishment. That's what he did. He was beaten and whooped and scourged and spat on and hung on a cross. He was receiving the wrath that you and I deserve so that our court case can be dismissed. He rose from the dead, which is God's exclamation point. It is true. It really happened. Your debt can be paid. If, and you're using the right language, if you will repent, turn from your sins, and place your faith in Jesus Christ, God says, I'll forgive all of your sins, past, present, future. When you die, you will be seen as not guilty because the righteousness of Jesus Christ is going to be credited to your account. That's what Good Friday and Easter are about. Here's the question, Anthony. Is what I just said to you true or false?
About him dying for our sins? If you believe, then yeah, that's true. If you don't believe, it's not true. Okay.
I believe that guy in the blue sweatshirt is actually God. And if I wear a blue sweatshirt when I die, I'm going to spend eternity with that guy, and we're all going to be wearing blue sweatshirts. That's what I believe. Is my belief true?
No.
See, belief doesn't matter. The question is the object of faith, yeah. All right? So the question for you is what I just shared with you true or false?
See, but then too, at the same time, if you're supposed to be a believer, it's not really about the object for you. You know what I'm saying? It's more of like the faith. I mean, I guess it's the object when it comes to like you dying or stuff like that. But I don't think people think of it that deep when they're doing it.
Well, they might not think of it deep. Yeah. But the question is Jesus an actual historical figure? Is he truly God in flesh? Did he really get crucified? Did he really rise from the dead?
And I can't really answer that, though.
Well, you can.
Like, I wouldn't have anything to back it up. It would be just the opinion.
No, you've got a lot to back it up.
Yeah.
The Bible. You've got eyewitness accounts. You've got 500 people who saw the resurrection of Jesus Christ, all of whom are willing to die. This is kind of tricky.
But Easter is kind of it's the big deal in Christianity. That 500 people saw it, and when they had a sword put to their neck to say recant, they all went, I can't recant because I saw it. See, I can believe a fairy tale. I can believe what my parents told me. But if you put a gun to my head, I'm probably going to go, just kidding, don't really. But when you see it and you know it's true, you're willing to die. They were all willing to die, and most of them did. That's what you have to know it's true. So look, Anthony, look, you're a nice young man, but let me just encourage you. Don't think that you can kind of get out of this with, well, that's up to that guy's thing, that's his thing or her thing. It's either true or it's false.
Okay, so I have to give a yes or no answer.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give a yes then.
You believe it's true?
Yeah.
If it's true and you're saying, I believe that, my God died for me, a sinner, what should your response be to that good news?
Happy.
Should be happy, yeah. But it should also be, wow, Lord, if you did that for me, I will do anything for you. God wants us to be in a relationship with him, to love him, to serve him, because he has been so good to us, and it's the right response. So you've been trying to maybe think some of these things through as an adult now,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? Anthony, today is the day of salvation for you. Think about what we talked about. Repent, put your trust in his son, and he will save you, and you'll inherit eternal life. I'm glad I got to meet you.
And that's another week in the books of Witness Wednesday. We'll be back here next Wednesday with more witnessing from the college campuses, and we'll be back here tomorrow with more Wretched Radio. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.